Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom. Welcome. Bruchim Abaim. Welcome. Hello, it is Sunday. It is January 12th. I'm Ilan Azulay, your host. This is Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. הריני מקבל על עצמי את מצוות עשה של ואהבת לרעך כמוך. I hereby accept on myself the due commandment or the utterance of expressing love to your neighbor, to your friend, to your partner, to your gardener, in the same way that you express love to yourself. And today's I want to read this poem, to start with a poem, as I usually do. This time it is a poem by Osiria Melody. Missed Connection. Amazing how a text message conveying affection, regarded as a few lines of dejection. Amazing how a photo of joviality, regarded as fallacy. Amazing how a video of life's best moments ignites a fire of jealousy, a ring of volcanic comments surging with scorching words. Amazing how my likes and comments strikes another's conscience, belittling their importance, since being popular means everything. Having the most followers means being a valid member of society. Amazing how the flame of being a social media phenomenon is the best thing in the world. Nothing could replace the missed connection that you and I share. Among the shared posts and counterfeit feelings of emojis, we lose what it means to connect to one another personally, rather than living in life's moments selflessly. Everything is about me, 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 not you. Because my posts matter more for my self-esteem. A missed connection of what reality means above the ubiquitous screens emitting blue light. Fill in all of these captured memories, not through a glowing device, but through eyes of authenticity. Experiencing what it means to cross the bridge between an idealized world to mundane. A missed connection of what reality means. For once, put down that screen and live in reality with me. Thank you, Melody. And this is a topic of my program today, of our connection today, although we're not really talking yet. I'll give you the phone number here. It's 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. Talking about connections. Yeah. Also, a missed connection is a connection. Right? So, where are we standing with this? With connecting, how are we connecting? What is all this technology and the things that are around us? How are these affecting our connectivity to one another? How are all the external devices, things that we look to sometimes make up for a connection? How is this playing in your world? רוצה קצת פוחדת, wanting but a little afraid. This is a song by a friend, Ronit Novik, and the music is by Avi Hermosa.
איתך כמו נסיעה ברכבת עולה לרציף לא יודעת אם לרדת אהבה לפעמים גם נוקבת אתה מקרטס אני דוהרת אתה עמוק לא צפוי אתה שלם גם חצוי אני רוצה קצת פוחדת אתה עמוק לא צפוי אתה שלם גם חצוי אני כלילה גם מורכבת החיים שלנו כמו סצנה מתוך סרט קצת פשוט לפעמים כואב אי אפשר לברוח מטופי הלב אתה עמוק לא צפוי אתה שלם גם חצוי אני רוצה שלם גם חצוי אני רוצה קצת פוחדת אתה עמוק לא צפוי אתה שלם וגם חצוי אני רוצה קצת פוחדת
Thank you, Ronit. And there is a couple that I've met in Israel. Wonderful couple, and they actually materialized their connection, their virtual connection, into a reality of 7 years now, I think. Wonderful. So, mazal tov. So, connections. Let's start with the sense. I want to start again with the sentence of, with the utterance of love your neighbor, love your friend in the same way that you express love to yourself. And I want to focus on the third part of that sentence about self. About self, about how do we express ourselves? How are we with ourselves? What do we see with ourselves? Where are we with ourselves in every situation? I read a post, and this leads into, this is a segue, really a beginning into what I wanted to express in this matter of connection. I've talked about a few times my relationship to the whole Me Too and how it started and where it is today and how is it being viewed, because everything that starts at a certain point evolves, we evolve, so do ideas, and so do groups and movements. So I read a post, and it's in a different language, so I'm going to give the gist of it. And the post was from a woman who is talking about meeting men that she met, and men didn't ask for the phone number, and really everything is being done via text. So they meet, they say goodbye, whether it's a party, a gathering, and they depart. And then in her experience, the man really reached out via text or WhatsApp and asked for the number and asked for to continue so forth. And this is really the the woman that wrote this post really wanted to point out that men are not connecting authentically. They're not looking in the eyes and looking into you and saying, you know, I like you, I'd like to have your phone number, I'd like to connect with you, I want to go out with you, whatever that is, right? It's always the afterwards. And I want to elaborate on that. And the reason I said it is because her experience is because it is her experience. It is not a blanket statement. It is not all men are like that, and not all women are like that or the other way. And really, what is it? What is leading to here? What is leading us to rely on these external devices? And how is this affecting not only the quality of our connections, but also the way that we see what a connection is? So, cell phones started, what, mid-90s? For consumers, starting with a gigantic box or something. And before that, it was, I remember growing up, we had to go to one payphone that was at the end of the road. At the end of the road and wait in line sometimes. And if the line was long, we'd go back home. But at that time, really, in Israel, it was, we just go to a friend's house or to somebody's house, knock on the door. If they're there, they're there. If they're there and they cannot be available, then we made a trip and we go back. And so this connection, this disconnection, which is a connection as well. Technically, it is a connection as well. We're choosing, sometimes some people will choose to connect through the disconnecting, through that way. And that is in one of the sessions that I give when we do sound work. Really, I'm talking about, at one point, we're talking about the shamanic medicine wheel and the four directions, when four directions are being called in certain ceremonies. Directions, I mean north, south, east, west. And north, south, east, west also is referring to our states. The north is the mind. The south is the heart. The west is the body, and the east is the spirit. And mind, people that are in mind, and there are four states. So we can be in our mind, we can be through our thoughts, through our contemplations, through how are we processing things, through what we see, through what we understand. Through our heart is when we are able to drop into that space, of expansion, into that space of joyous expansion. You feel that all your body, your chest is expanding. It could be expressed through manifested in the body, through tickling, through shivering, through goosebumps. But really, it is the inside feeling that is driving these other external bodily functions. In the body is when we are connected, somebody who is making connections through the body, through anything that has to do with, let's say, worshiping the body. Let's say somebody who is a bodybuilder. That's the connection. That's the connection that they make. One of the connections that they make, and that is through the work of the body or sex or anything that is tattoos too. That is one way. And it is not to put everything or anybody in a box. God forbid, no, not at all. It is, these are states that we can be shifting through our lives. We can be at one point we are at our mind, and then we are connecting, we are going through life experiences, we are going through all these experiences that are eventually defining us. And so we can move from our mind to our body, through our heart and through the spirit. And the spirit is really somebody who is making connection through spiritual connections, through spiritual meaningful connections, meaning. And the bottom of the entire work that is being immersed, that is being exploding in the world now, is really the work of connecting to our heart, connecting to the authenticity, connecting to this place that maybe we've forgotten, the place that made us alive, the place that keeps us, that place that keeps us going like a charger, like a generator that is being recharged all the time by the thoughts, feelings, actions that we really love inhabiting. When was the last time you've really just did what you really loved to do? When was the last time that you've experienced that that expansion? I know I have in the last several months and several weeks in a different capacity, and I would like to share that with you in a little bit. But really, it's talking about this connection, and the connection through the spirit. The connection through the spirit, through channeling, through being aware. Now, channeling, there are different ways. Spirit doesn't mean that one has to be channeling all the time or talking to spirits that is not only, that is a level of that state, of that place. But it's also here in the practicality. It is the place of being aware of your surroundings, being aware of who is around you, why who is around you is around you, why are you around those who you are around. And my work in this program is really starts with the understanding that everything physical, everything that happens in this realm, in this world, in this materialistic world has a spiritual meaning and reasoning. Everything is being driven. Everything is starting with you. You in the inside, you. Everything has a spiritual meaning to your journey, for your journey, for our journey, for everybody. And so how are we inhabiting the spaces that we are in when we are in connection? For example, the post that the lady wrote about not meeting men that are actually proactive and asking and courting, if you will. I don't think I've heard anybody say this word except for a friend of mine up in New Hampshire and myself. And so the courting ritual, I see it as a kind of a beautiful ritual, you know. Not because it's a man and a woman, just because it's one to another. Do you feel that it has to be court? Do you feel that men need to court women? How about if a woman courts a man, how is that being perceived? How is that being perceived that a woman courts a man? Does that make a woman less of? Does that make a woman or a man, for that matter, because they are proactive in and courting and asking, and not just asking, but asking directly. So when I started talking about the Me Too, what I've experienced as a spiritual mentor and a sound therapist, and I work with people and couples and women and people who left their relationships or are in the middle of a divorce or in the process of a divorce. And what I've noticed and what happens is that if you don't have a healing, if you don't have healing from something you've had a wound, I don't know what happened to my English today, but if there was no healing happening, then the process that follows is just a cover-up, because that wound was never healed. It's like, imagine you have a wound on your arm, and you're putting something to cover it, but you're not really putting anything to heal it. It's like you just put a Band-Aid without any antibiotics or anything, or you're just putting something, or you're just putting a tape on it. We just don't want to see it because it doesn't look nice, you know. Some would say it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's if there is no healing and we are continuing making same choices in choosing somebody, or making same choices in work environment, and how are we handling work environment, then it's only a place that is being covered. And so, for example, when I've shared this post also in the past of somebody that hosted a woman that hosted a women's retreat, and no men were invited. I remember I was seeing it the post. No men were invited except for the man slaves that were there covering their faces and serving goddesses. So the ad said. The post said. So there is here, on one hand, something like this, and I want to say there is an observation. I have to admit there was a little judgment on my part for that, for seeing that, not trying to bring it and to say, oh, I'm a, it is, we're human. And the point is recognizing when we are being either judgmental or angry or seeing where we're coming from. And I remember seeing that. And I want to thank, I will not say the name anyway, but I don't remember the lady's name. But I want to thank you. I want to thank you for bringing this up, because this is exactly where I see the issue lies in. It started with oppression. The Me Too movement started with oppression. Started with how are we saying enough to being vandalized, enough to being abused, enough to being bullied. It doesn't matter if it is a man or a woman. Unfortunately, it happened in the last thousands of years that that patriarchy was thriving, if you will. Okay, and now we're experiencing this wonderful shift, this shift in consciousness, this shift in global consciousness, this shift in global awareness, being aware of what is around us, who is around us, and we are now tightening the edges, kind of bringing things that are maybe loose ends that we have in our journey with other connections, with other people. And it is enough if we just look at our own field at our own surroundings. So there is a huge transition, and I'm very grateful about that. It is, and with that, it is how are we bringing healing? How are we bringing healing to you who are ready to reclaim your power? Abracadabra, as the name of the program is, comes from the Aramaic language. And it says literally, I create as I speak. Evra kedabra. My words are being created as I utter them. So, if I utter $1 million, do I have $1 million? If I utter, I go there, I... No, there is what is coming. I brought in now, I guess unintentionally in my conscious level, but intentionally in my sub one. In Kabbalah, there are four things that we come down and we are, and that are really predetermined for us. It's our life, it's our death, is our mating, and is our finances. And so bringing it back to our abracadabra, when we are in a situation, what are we creating when we respond or react the way that we do? How are we responding is going to dictate how it is going to continue forward. If we are in a certain argument or there is a disagreement, how do we respond to the person who just triggered us? The person just triggered us. The person triggered us. How are we responding? Are we jumping right into this place of defensiveness and responding back in the same way, in the same manner? And then feeling not happy about that? Or we already understand where we are. We already understand our strength. That external, just like the devices, just like the text, external things are external. They're not part of my internal. So if I allow the door to be shattered, if I allow my presence to be affected by the outside, just like in the book Four Agreements, when one of the agreements talks about not taking it personally, that is exactly what it is. Because if the other person starts screaming and yelling and bursting off, and there is something else that is going on. You may have done something. You may have done something that triggered that person. But that person is experiencing, is finding an outlet to dump everything out. It could have been you. It could have been somebody else. That is how the person is. That is how the person is, at least at this point in time. And so there is that disconnect, that there is that mind disconnect from the heart, from the place of love, from the place of acceptance, from the place of serenity. So there is this disconnect. And when we get triggered, we automatically react. Sometimes if we are not aware of that. So we can automatically react. And then we recognize, some people do and some people don't. We recognize that we were triggered. So the time between when we got triggered until we realized that we got triggered, and now we have a choice to take action, to do something different, or to choose to stay there. But nevertheless, from the time we got triggered until the time we realized that we got triggered, I call this trigger time, true time. From the trigger time to the time of truth. And the more you are aware of it, the more you are aware of your trigger time, your trigger action, trigger person, until the truth time, that is the story that you're in. You are in that movie, and you are reactive, and every reaction, every choice that you make will be based ultimately on that event that you are still triggered by. And this is from example, obviously, many times that I've experienced that, it is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And when we are aware of that, that is what's happening. It happens that the trigger time, true time, is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And soon enough, you respond, you don't react, because you hear it real time. Think of, for example, if you're a musician, that's the best analogy that comes on now. Think about if you're a musician and you remember that back, I think, in the late 80s, yes, you old youngsters out there, the late 80s, digital audio kind of starts taking on. It was a brand new concept to record my guitar right into my computer. Wow, that was unthinkable. That was heaven. That was the synergy between technology and humanity. This is what Steve Jobs was talking about. It's like the junction of standing in the intersection between humanity and technology. And that's where it really started. It was very exciting. But what happened with these devices, they weren't very advanced. So when I would strum the guitar, there would be latency. There would be a delay in the computer translating the sounds into computing them, and then omitting them back into an audio speaker, translating it again. So there was sometimes a delay of, like, in the good cases, it would be a delay of 2 seconds. And 2 seconds, or 1 second even, is a lot in music terms, because if I'm counting to four, it won't sit right, because I'm playing and then I hear myself in a delay and it can be very confusing. So at that time, I used to record it without headphones. So I would just play have the click, and play that. The reason I bring that is because that latency example, it was something like that. It was from the trigger time, from the time that we strum the guitar, strum that chord, until you realize that what you've done is music. Is music. Yes, it is music. We create music. We create music that has different scales, different tones. And so I want to come back to the first post I read, that I kind of translated about the woman that was talking about that she saw him in the party and she saw that he was looking and they talked a little bit. She liked him. He didn't ask for the phone number and she didn't offer and so forth. Because there was no healing, this is not the only reason, but this is the reason that I'm bringing it here, and there are many other reasons or ways to look at that. I'm positive. So when there is no healing, when there is no healing with the masculine, and because the work is that I talk of is primarily for women who are in a place where they're ready to reclaim the power within, especially after a separation, especially after a divorce, after losing track of the Northern Star, so to speak, of your goal, of your desires, of your vision, the surrounding can be very supportive or very toxic. And this is what a term that I've, this is what I've been talking about, but this is a term that came up in recent conversation, and this is which is called toxic feminism. Toxic feminism, toxic masculinity, toxic, not feminism, sorry, toxic femininity and toxic masculinity, where there are perceptions that, for example, men are insensitive beasts, for example. But that is not really true. And what about this term? What toxic masculinity is referring to is when the male traits that are endorsed by culture, it takes form and it damages the perception, it damages the society. Strength suddenly becomes violence. Assertiveness suddenly becomes entitlement. Stoicism becomes emotional stunness. The result is that the men are men after that who can't take no for an answer. Men who are unable to empathize with others. And these men are becoming the subjects of Me Too posts. But where there is a yin, there is a yang, right? So it takes both. It goes on both sides. This is a topic that I want to bring a guest to talk about this topic, because this is not something that we can talk about in an hour, especially now when there is not enough time. But this is something that I would like to open, and I would like to invite you to talk about this. 323-203-0815. So what is happening is that these traits, are translated into men that are insensitive, men that cannot connect. What about the other side? And this is the example I gave earlier of the other side. How are you perceiving men? How are you, men, perceiving women? Not as a woman as far as necessarily as a gender, but as a woman, as a feminine other than you, or a man, masculine, other than you. And when there is no healing, like in the post that I was talking about, the manslaves, when there is no healing, the wounds are being covered. And now it turns into anger. And now the wound that was never healed turns into anger towards women. Or the other way around. If a man had grew up in a not supportive, negative, feminine environment, or feminine and masculine environment combined, but there is no healing from that, then there is, we hear all the stories and everything and all the unfortunate things that are happening on both sides, men towards women, women towards men. Although I can say that I don't hear that much in comparison from women towards men. So how is this affecting our connection? So if there is no healing towards the masculine, you may also choose somebody who is portraying somebody in your life, like your father or an older family member. It doesn't have to be in a violent matter, right? But those are the patterns. How are we facing that? How are we healing that? When I say it doesn't have to be in a violent matter, I mean that that a woman and if there is no healing, it could be an older woman in her 40s, in her 30s, in her 50s, that chooses somebody who is a representation of something, or of someone, actually. A representation of an idea of something. But when there is no healing, how are we seeing the other person? We're seeing the other person only through the filters of that wound. We're seeing the other person through the filter of those things that obstructed or things that triggered. And we never were aware of this trigger until way later, when things start falling apart, and then we start asking questions. And why did we do this? And how did this happen? And how did this happen? It's always, you know, after the journey we can connect the dots, or after the journey at least we can try and figure out how to connect, how these dots were connected. You know, but when we are in it, at least in the past, we may have not paid attention to that. How are we connecting today? And another point on the connection through the disconnect, that the text, these text messages, talking through, having a whole blown, full-blown conversation through text, it's just... You know, when you send a text to somebody, you send a text in the space and the state that you, and the state of mind that you are currently inhabiting. If you are feeling sad, or if you are feeling happy, or if you're feeling angry, or if you're feeling any kind of feeling, you're sending a text. You're sending a text from that place that you're in. If you are in a party and you're going through crazy things and you want to convey everything, well, aside from taking a picture, you're sending a text. Oh, this is great here. This is everything. That text leaves you stripped of any emotional or context. Goes through the airwaves, cell towers, comes to the other person. And the person that is receiving the text, is at a completely different state. Is completely at a state of confusion. Is completely at a state of survival mode. Completely at a state of despair. I mean, just everything different than where you are now. How is that person receiving that text? So the person that is receiving the text is going to receive it in the context that he is in or she is in. So it may cause that person even a greater dive, because the person is in a certain state. Is that going to make them feel better? But no, we don't have to take it to that extreme. It could be communications that are other than just utilitarian communications, right? And so, one of the things that I want to leave you with you today about connecting back to this place of authenticity within you. This is a process. This is a process that I know I've been going through many years, and it's just every day is a brand new day. Just like staying, every day is a brand new day. Every day is a wonderful opportunity to be authentic, to say what you feel and what is good for you and being aware of the lay of the land, and being aware of where are you within yourself when you are expressing yourself? Where are you within yourself? How do you feel when you are conveying something to someone? How are you within you? It doesn't mean that you have to give your other cheek if somebody says something and you don't agree. It's very important to state what is good for you. What is, if something is not okay by you, to say that. To say, to be in that place of constant communication. And because we have the gift of the speech, the divine gift of the speech, then we communicate with that speech. We communicate with touch. We communicate with looks. We communicate with how we look. When I say looks, is looking in the eyes. We communicate with eye connection. We communicate. We communicate with speech. That's also what separates us from the rest of the kingdoms, the animal kingdom, for example. So, meeting somebody, going into these places of who is going to say what and why am I not receiving this phone call from this guy who said he liked me, and I ask you, the lady who wrote this post about not receiving men, finding men that are proactive, I ask you, do you need, what do you need? Why do you need men to be proactive? Why do you need somebody to ask? That is another stereotypical trait. I don't see. I met some women that are very progressive and very understanding and very open and very spiritual and strong and understand their gifts, and yet there is this need, this that men have to do this and ask and pay for, let's say, going out. It's as if there is not complete synergy between those two sides. On one hand, there is the independent, this strong, this growing feminine within you, and then on the other hand, there is this basic, this primal, if you will, need. Do you recognize that this is a need that comes from that place of going back to the original plan of that the feminine is I'll compare it to the woman, I'll compare it to the interior minister, and the man to the foreign affairs minister. Because by nature, men are external. Everything is an extension of. And a woman is internal. Everything is internal. Everything happens inside. It's like that Far Side joke where there was a cockpit of a female pilot and a cockpit of a male pilot, and the female pilot cockpit had all kind of buttons and gauges and one thing controls the other that affects the other gauge, and the masculine had the men had only one button on and off. Now, this isn't an exaggeration, but from the point, it is what it is. It is true. It is an external, and it is because it is external. The way to look at it is in a different way than the feminine. We're just wired differently. So, you who feel that nothing is going to define you, you as a woman, as this coming into your power, recognizing your power from within, not the power to be over someone, but the power from within. Do you need that to be what makes the connection between you and that person? What would happen if you would have initiated? Not saying that it has to be that way or the other way. And because also in work environment where there is a lot of claims that there is that there are sexual advances. If somebody in the work environment today, in corporate America, for example, and also in Israel, you go to a coworker and you say, oh, I like you. I'd like to have your number. I'd like to know you better, right? That's automatically a phone call directly to HR before you probably finished saying that sentence. So there is almost like a discouragement over the time of the masculine and the men being who they are, initiating and proactive, being proactive, to a place where many men feel that they don't have the power, that they are afraid to act. They're afraid to act because of a lot of this Me Too generalization that started in one way, but is I believe warped into something different. Still, that is there. What initially was there, but it warped. So, where are you in all that? Where are you in all that? And what I want to share with you is that I would ask you for you to find one thing this week that you love doing, that when you do it, you feel this expansion in your body. When you are immersed in doing what you love doing, whether it is reading, music, jogging, just go something that you absolutely love. It has nothing to do, maybe, with anybody else. It has to do only with your choice and your desire to do what you love doing. To do that, choose a time, a day, any day. It doesn't have to be all day. It doesn't have to be something that you love doing, and you'll find that you start doing it. You will start connecting back. I love playing the piano, the guitar, and that is the connection. And yesterday premiered a play that I'm playing in, an Israeli play, Mevaker HaMdina. Still playing for the next 2 weeks. Another way of me connecting back to playing and acting. And I send you much love. Have a wonderful, make it a wonderful week. Abracadabra, create what you speak. This is Perfume by Liron Ben Shimon. Facebook.com/BodySoulSound. See you later. Have a wonderful week.
ישבת על מיטה, רגליך לא נוגעות, לא ברצפה, לא בחיים, מתנדנדות. אמרת יפה, הכל קופה, לכו לחיות, נסענו במכוני אחזת בידי ריחות של קרים חביתה עם זיתים חיבוקים תחליפי את העץ במכוני לריח שרצים וגם אתה שם כאילו שידעת שריחות תמיד צריך למצוא.
You're listening to Abracadabra, create what you speak with Ilan Azulay.